The new section of Pasuk Tezayin. I'll read the Pasuk very quickly again, and we'll pick up where we left off in Farshim. It's on page 856. It will be all those that are the leftovers. We spent yesterday a lot of time discussing the term the leftovers. Which means to come to attack. These people are coming to attack Yerushalayim, and these were part of our enemies. They're going to come every year. The word midei means every. It's an interesting word, the word midei, to bow down. They're going to celebrate the festival of Sukkos. This is what they're going to do. So in other words, they have a mitzvah, aliyah l'regel, once a year. The volume, okay. Let me put it a little higher, like this. Is it better now? How about now? What?
We'll see.
Okay. They're going to come midi shana v'shana. They're going to come once a year to bow down before Hashem Tzavakos v'lachog and to celebrate the Chag HaSukkos. So we explained yesterday that we have a mitzvah lili regal three times a year. Okay. We have three times a year, but they, the goyim, are only going to have a festival once a year. Once a year, and that is going to be the Chag HaSukkos. Those that choose not to come and to bow down to Hashem, the Melech Hashem Tzavakos, then what will be the punishment? According to what we learned yesterday, they will not merit rain. The punishment will be, it's the economy. The economy will not be good for them, because they have chosen not to come up to the Oile, to the Beis Hamikdash, to bow down on Chag HaSukkos. We learned yesterday, according to the Mitzudos, the reason why they're coming once a year is a zikaron, a commemoration. Thank you very much for going. I don't normally take milk and sugar, but it's okay. No, thank you very much. Thank you. I usually have black.
Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam
Shehakol
Nehyeh B'dvaroi.
So, We have over here this idea of, first of all, we learned yesterday in point Yisod that the Goyim, they're not going to be called nations, they're going to be called families. They're going to be a change from an Am to a Mishpacha. And we also learned that, okay, they come once a year, and the punishment for not coming is going to be Parnasa. It's going to hurt them hard in the pocketbook. They're not going to have Parnasa. And we also spent time understanding the idea that that they're coming primarily, according to the Mitzvah Tzavut, as a zikaron. It's a memorial service. Now, what does that mean? It's not clear. Does it mean they're coming? They're coming to memorialize the people who died, or does it mean they're coming to remember what happened? Don't forget. Just like we have, we always say every single day, multiple times, Zecher Liyetzias Mitzrayim. Don't ever forget that where we came from. The Goyim also at this time in the world are also going to have a tikkun. They're going to be required to remember what happened. They should never forget what happened to them. Okay. Now let's go further. Next pasuk Yudches. Now here's this pasuk is a very interesting pasuk which requires us to add many words according to what we learned yesterday. Egypt is a land that does not need parnasa. Egypt is independently wealthy. Why are they independently wealthy? We have to go back to ancient times, because in ancient times the whole world needed rain. The whole world survived on an economy that was based on the agriculture. And that demanded that the weakest link in the chain of Parnassa was rain. What was the most unreliable part of the economy? Rain. If it rains, then everything moves along. If there is no rain, then the economy will collapse. The most delicate part of the economy was rain. But Egypt did not have that problem, because Egypt was a land that was irrigated. The Nile was flooded every year and irrigated the fields, so that was not an issue. So Egypt was always guaranteed to have Parnas. There was never an issue of Parnas when it came to the Egyptian society. So they basically, if you want to go take this Nevuah and you want to fast forward it into the modern world, you're dealing with a country that's independently wealthy. Okay, there are such countries. Okay, the United Emirates, people who go, well, that's not really true, because it's only for a certain class of people. But if you try to imagine, there are certain. Obviously, we know people today. There are certain that they have nothing to do with their money. There are certain people that have so much money. They sit the whole day. They just plot to take over the world. There are people that money
George
is.
Soros.
What George Soros and Bill Gates, Mark Zuckerberg, and that guy who looks like a Rosh Shiva from Twitter. What's his name? What's the guy from Twitter? The CEO of Twitter.
Rosh Shiva.
He looks like a Rosh Shiva. Don't you see what he looks like? He has a beard, a very long beard. The only thing that ruins it is the earrings. Give it away. Dory, what's his name? The D. His name begins with a D. The CEO of Twitter. These are people who have more money than the government. So for them, what do they do to them? That you're going to threaten them that Hashem is not going to give them parnasa? They say, we have all the parnasa, we don't need anything. So it says in this pasuk, it has a very powerful pasuk. This pasuk is a powerful knockout pasuk. The Mishpachas Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim is a code word for a family or for an individual or for a society that is not worried about parnasa. Parnasa is not an issue. They're outside the world of reality. People that have no daigus of parnasa are a whole different min. Even talk about it. I'm not going to use Lashon Hara, but I'll give you examples with it. People in learning. There are certain people in the world, in the Torah world. I think about it as two particular people that you're not going to get out of me, who come from families who are extremely wealthy. And when they deal in halacha, they're in a different world. I always found that they're totally in a different world. I always felt that they're just not living in reality. That you don't understand. You can't pass in like that. You can't just say that's the halacha. Most people can't accept that because it lacks a sensitivity to the struggle of survival that many of us feel that we're in. Not everyone is blessed that parnosis, the money is not an issue. Money is a very big issue. People who struggle to survive, to get along, and to put up a smile every day that everyone's fine and good. When they have their certain issues, and if you're gonna if you come down upon them in halacha with a tone of chumrah. I'll give you an example, you can figure out what I'm talking about. It's like, you know, until this point in time, no one ever thought about these things. We were very lenient. Not only were we lenient, no one even thought about these type of ideas to change the way we live as far as in certain areas of. And the reason why is because people are so hard pressed just to get through the day and make a living and put their kids in yeshiva and do what they can help them and whatever they need to do. They're not in a frame of mind where you can even think about certain things, religious elements of enhancements, tiyagos. This is like a fantasy for people who have an infinite, have a printing press of money in their backyard and don't have nothing else to do. And to me, it was very shocking. There are certain two people that I'm thinking about that they're very machmir in halacha. Not just they're machmir, they're a very different approach. And I always looked at them, you don't understand. Like by you, money is not an issue. Money is.
They had a bit.
No, they're not a bad. They are in a maybe.
So be machmir for yourself, but
not for society. But these people are in a position of leadership. They're influential people, and they're not like majorly influential people. But they are. But maybe one day they will be. You know, they're like middle aged people, and I always feel like, you know, when you add to the mix, the people who it's a tremendous and a very heavy pressure. Daiga Saparnosu, which is the way the world has always been, it's you don't have to even time to think about certain types of things. When your mind is released from the daiga of Parnosa, you become a very different person. A very different person, and it depends what kind of life you're living. If you're living a life of Torah, it manifests itself in a very extreme approach to religion. If you're not not in the world of Torah, no, you're fine, Shema Shabbos, and you learn your Daf Yomi. You become, I've seen this by another person, you become a very different type of person. You become associated with certain types of people, and you distance yourself from the common man. It's a very interesting thing to do a study on people who to whom money is not an issue. Totally, totally not an issue.
He said, Netanyahu, the first time in his life, got a smartphone. He never had a phone till now, because all the time he was in government.
Yeah.
He never had a phone. He had his assistants doing all the calls.
Okay, really, everything. They did everything, yeah. And now, for the first time, he has to learn to use a smartphone. So, does he know how to use it?
I don't know.
He'll call his grandchildren. His grandchildren.
It's difficult. I remember when I left work. A lot of things changed.
Yeah. Well, you know, a smartphone, even a computer, they are so advanced today, it's amazing how it takes a very long time how to learn how to use a computer. I remember the first time I got a smartphone, it took me literally a whole year. I did nothing on the smartphone but make telephone calls and text. That's all I did. I didn't realize the whole world is here. You have the internet, you have these apps. It took me like a year to figure out. Even now, I'm addicted. Totally addicted.
Someone has to teach you that.
Yeah, someone has to teach you. You have to learn. It depends. It's But the point over here is, over here, Pasuk Ches is describing it's a very powerful idea. Pasuk Ches is an amazing idea. Pasuk Ches is describing Mitzrayim. It's not just the country Egypt. Mitzrayim here is a code word for a society or culture that money is not an issue. Mitzrayim, because we're going back to the ancient times. The ancient times, the economy was based upon agriculture, and by the way, the people of you on the computer, do you hear me? Or Blaze, do you hear me? It's okay? Because yesterday the complaint couldn't hear. It's fine. Okay. So dealing in a country, in ancient times, all the other countries, they struggled to survive because they needed it to rain. And rain is not a guarantee. Only when Hashem wants it to rain. Egypt did not have that problem. Egypt had an advantage over the entire world where money was never an issue. The Nile irrigated all of the fields, and thus the produce was always there, and they had an abundance, and they sold it, and they had enormous wealth. So they're saying to Hashem, well, you're threatening us that if we're not going to come to Eretz Yisrael to bow down and pay homage to Hashem, it's not going to rain. We don't need your rain. We anyway don't get your rain. Translate that into the 21st century. You're threatening us that you're not going to give us parnasa. We're not going to get a job. We don't work anyway. We have in the bank. We are diversified. Our wealth is spread out through the entire world. We're not worried about money. You're going to threaten us with parnasa? Ridiculous. So Hashem is addressing these people and these countries and these situations. Via mishpachas Mitzrayim, the family of Mitzrayim, which means the super wealthy who is not does not feel threatened by the economy. Loi sale, v'loi va'ah. If they do not ascend and do not come to Hashem to pay homage, and they're going to say, v'loi aleihem. Now this is the difficult part of the pasuk, which we learned yesterday in the Mitzvah stuff, but they're going to say, to us, don't threaten us with v'loi aleihem yihyeh ha-goshen. Okay, there's a lot of words you have to add in. The words v'loi aleihem is a throwback to the previous pasuk where it says the words v'loi aleihem yihyeh ha-goshen. I don't know, we're just adding a lot of words in the pasuk, otherwise it doesn't make any sense. And they're going to say v'loi aleihem, this threat of v'loi aleihem does not apply to us. Because anyway, we don't need rain in our country, and we translate that in our life, we don't need wealth. So Hashem says, okay, fine. It may be you don't need rain, so I'll punish you in another way. What's going to happen to you is going to be tiyah hamagefa. So for you, if you choose not to come to Eretz Yisrael to bow down to Hashem and to pay homage, you will suffer a magefa. A magefa. And what's the magefa? Asher yigoyf Hashem es hagoyim, Hashem will smite the goyim, asher lo yalu, that do not ascend, lochoy geschag hasukos. Now, I just translate the words in a very vague way. It's not really, it's not, it's not, you know, I added a lot of words into the pasuk. Let's look at the mitzvah of it again, pasuk Yud Ches, just to be able to clarify this idea.
Yeah, Geshem could also mean not necessarily metaphorically Geshem, which would mean like God's good.
Parnasa. Geshem is always a code word for parnasa, for wealth, for sustenance. Like on Sukkot, we are mispalel for Geshem. What are we mispalel for? Geshem mispalel on Yisha parnasa. Geshem is right. It's just a metaphor, and that's what's happening over here. In ancient times, the weakest link in the chain of the economy was rain. If it rained, 95% of your parnasa is guaranteed. If it doesn't rain, it means poverty. Egypt does not have that problem because Egypt in any way doesn't rain. So they were independently wealthy. So now let's read the words of the Mrs. one more time inside. Pasuk Yud Ches. It's poetic repetition. Over here he's repeating these two expressions, as they will not ascend, they will not come. These two expressions basically mean exactly the same thing. It's poetic repetition. Now here is the hard part of the pasuk. Whenever the Mitzudas David says the words Ritzoyno Loimar, it's like when Rashi in the Gemara says Kaloimar. It means I'm gonna sell you the Brooklyn Bridge. I'm gonna add into the pasuk words that do not appear in order to make sense out as what it says. There's a pasuk. It doesn't make you cannot possibly understand this literally. There is something that is missing, and you need a tradition from your teachers to explain what the pasuk really is trying to say. And usually, the only way you can make sense of this is to add words into the pasuk. It's like a Torah Shebal Peh. There are many psukim that we know this. You go read the Bible, the Old Testament, the going, I don't know what in the world they're doing. I don't know what in the world the Christians are doing to read the Old Testament. It doesn't make one word of sense without Perish Rashi. You read a Pasuk in Chumash, we learn in the afternoon Chumash Rashi. I mean, you read the Pasuk without Rashi telling you what the Pasuk means and adding in all of the Bayer, you literally cannot get through one Pasuk in the whole Torah. So the Christians who just study, you see on the train sometimes, they're reading the Old Testament. You ever see them on the train?
We don't say that. We say the Hebrew Bible.
The Hebrew Bible. They read the Hebrew Bible, no Perush Rashi, no commentary. What are you reading? What in the world?
They're trying to understand the narratives. They're not looking for halacha.
To read the narratives, you're picking words. It's impossible. It's literally impossible to read a sentence, a pasuk, in the Hebrew Bible without Perush Rashi. And if you don't want to learn Rashi, so maybe I'll take another Perush, another Rishon, learn the Rashbam's Perush. Learn, who are the Pashtonim? The Radak also, I think the Radak also is a Perush on Chumash. But the Christians, they don't have any Rashi, they don't have any of those, and I'm not familiar. They do have their own commentators?
Yeah.
Okay, because you see the Holy Bible. You ever go to Holy
Unless you're looking at a straight text, but newer editions, they use explanatory notes and,
Okay, because you ever go to a hotel and they have
I think they're starting to get rid of those Bibles.
Underneath the television, in the cabinet, there's the Holy Bible. Holy Bible, shocking. It should be offensive, no?
Yeah.
If they don't want to say the Pledge of Allegiance, to God, so how could it be you go to a hotel and how come no one's. What? Not anymore, right? The new hotels, now they probably don't do it anymore.
No,
they put the Holy Bible in every room, in every cabinet. Okay, let's go for the Vloy Aleim, Ritzon Aleimar, Shloy Aleim, Yerag, Shloy. Now, again, reading over here in the Mitzudah Stavin, Pasuk
Yud
Ches.
It's still a bestseller, right?
It is? Yeah. It's still a bestseller, the Holy Bible in this country? Psst, wow.
In the world. It's the biggest book that is sold in the world is the
Vloy Aleim.
You
know what it's like Rezil HaMalach. That's really what it's like. It's just like a segula. The guy buy the Old Test, the Hebrew Bible. Why do they buy it? It's like Rezil HaMalach. People have in their house Rezil HaMalach. Sefer Yetzira. It's a segula that there should not be a fire, a sreifa. Do you understand even one word what it says in the Sefer Rezil HaMalach?
Sure.
Not even one word.
I only look at the picture.
Sadly, the same thing amongst Jews. people don't understand that.
Okay, so you can't judge.
Okay, look, it's a world they event. They don't understand it the way we understand it, but that doesn't mean they don't study
okay.
it.
Okay. Look, someone told me yesterday.
They have study groups. They have classes. It's not just.
Okay, so those who study it, fine.
I don't understand these generalizations you make.
Okay, maybe you're right. Someone told me yesterday that the Amshinov Rebbe here in America, not the one in Eretz Yisrael, someone said to him that, you know, I daven every day, three times a day, Shacharis, Mincha, Ma'ariv, and I basically don't have kavana even for one word. I come to shul, I'm like a robot, I come to shul, put my tefillin, on autopilot, I go to the Shemona Esrei, and then after the Shemona Esrei is over, I say, oh, another day like this, another one of these days where you just, like, you know, just. So the Amshinah Rebbe said to him, maybe in Shemayim, that's what they want. That's what's more valuable for you than actually reading the whole Shemoneh Esrei. The fact that when the Shemoneh Esrei is over, you said, oy, another day, another Shemoneh Esrei hits the dust. That krechs of, oy, I davened the whole Shemoneh Esrei and I was not mechavin even one word. Having that sensation, that feeling of, oy, I feel so bad. Maybe that's what is valuable in Shemayim for you. When you have that hergish of, you know, my mind is not here. Everyone knows what this feels like.
It's a plus, the fact that he's doing it even though he doesn't understand necessarily what he's doing.
Absolutely, you have no choice. That's the halacha. An Orthodox Jew has no choice. You have to go through the lip service. But obviously that's not what it's meant to be. It's meant to actually have kavan every single word. But at least, the very least is that if you don't have kavan every single word and you feel bad about it, that is gold. To have that feeling of, oh yeah, I wish I could have done better. And like you say about the Bible, you know, for some people, just having the Bible in their home, you know, that's valuable. They see the Holy Bible. They see on the bookcase Shas, the Chassid Shas. They never opened it once in their life. They never cracked the binding.
It's a Jewish thing too.
But, oh, you know, this is my ideal. Halavai, maybe my children, my grandchildren, it will manifest itself in one way or another. Even though a person does not necessarily have the ability, has the yecheles to study what it says in the Bible, to actually observe what it says. But this is my goal. And in one way or another, it's going to be manifested through your children, through tzedakah, through chesed. There's an incredible value in just, many times, just going through the motions. It keeps you connected, it keeps you in touch. Back to what it says, V'loy Alehem, Ritzon Eloimar. Here he says, Ritzon Eloimar, looks like Rashi and Chumash says, Koloimar. Don't take this literally. There's a lot of depth here. When it says over here, V'shaloy Alehem Yerd Hageshem Kol Hashanim. These people, it's a description of, we are describing a nation or a family or an individual that is not subject, that it has no needs. These are people that it rain anyway. It anyway does not rain. They do not have the sensitivity of the average person of having a feeling of vulnerability and daiga. Where will my next dollar come from? It's shaloy aleim yoda ageshem kol hashanim ki hanilus mashke sedoy sehem. The nilos, the Nile floods their fields. They are independently wealthy. Money is not an issue, so don't threaten me. If you don't come and bow down to Hashem and pay homage, Hashem is going to take away your parnasa. Hashem's not going to take away our parnasa. We don't need Hashem for parnasa. So what does it say? You're right. Hashem can't take you, the money, away from you, but Hashem will take you away from the money. Like what the Chafetz Chaim said. It was Mamash the Chafetz Chaim. Is this possible? It's the Chafetz Chaim. Ti onsham, what will their punishment be? Hamageifa. Vuhu hamakas habasar. Hashem may not be able to take you the money away from you, but he will take you away from the money through a hamageifa. Asher lo yale, asher al. He is the word here, al, because you did not come. Asher lo yalu. Velo yiryu imkein nikiyim min ho'inesh. No one gets off scot-free. There is a din, the cheshbon, for every single living creature in this world. There's no such thing as a free lunch, except here where they're starting now to give away free lunches. Once again, Baruch Hashem. It's not free, it costs $1, still $1.25. Oh, they raised the price. Inflation. Oh, $1.50. See, things are not good. Okay. Now that we've done that, let's take a look over here at Chagas Sukkos. Now look at Rashi. Let's take a look at the Rashi Pasuk Tezayin. Es Chagas Sukkos. Kimoisha Perishu Rabbi Seder Zal. B'mesech Lava Dezar. Mitzvah Kala Yeshli V'sukkos Shma. Kidi Isu B'shmaita Rishayna. This is the famous story that lost the level of the Goyim going to Kmin HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, well, we'll see the Mamori Chazal. We have the Mamori Chazal. The Mamori Chazal. He's not going to quote this. He's not going to quote it. It actually doesn't quote it. It's shocking. And what is Rashi referring to? That also love the goyim are going to complain and say, it's not fair. Why do you shower Am Yisrael with bracha and not the Umma Yisraelim? So Hashem says, because they're the ones who said Nasa v'nishma. So they say, you also should have been kofa. You forced them. You put the mountain on top of them. You didn't force us. You should have forced us. They're going to come with complaints. I don't remember all the details, but they're going to come with complaints and say, it's not fair. It is fair. Okay, but just, this is the chesed of Hashem. In order to satisfy them, Hashem said, okay, you know what? I'll give you another chance. I'm going to give you one mitzvah. The mitzvah of
Sukkah. Rabbi Grimblad in his book refers to this as a hurried makeup test.
Now that book, you told me the link. I ordered on Amazon, and about 2 months later, I got a message that, sorry, we're refunding your money. It's not available. It took them 2 months to come to that conclusion, Amazon. So maybe we should try it again.
I start reading it again next week with the 3 weeks.
3 weeks. We've got to try it again.
What's the name?
Exile and Redemption.
Exile and try the word again today. We'll see what happens.
Yosef.
So in any event, we have here in this pasuk that Hashem is going to give them a yisera mechol today, hurried makeup exam. Hashem said, I'll give you a mitzvah kala yesh. Why is sukkah called mitzvah kala? It's free mitzvah. It doesn't cost any money to make a sukkah. Go tell that to our sukkah depot. And what's called lighters? How you pronounce lighters?
Lighters
sukkah. Go tell them I'm not paying you for this sukkah. You want $1,000 for a sukkah? It says in Chazal mitzvah kala yeshli. It's for free. It doesn't cost. You go on the Prospect Park. You take some debris, some of the bushes. You cut them down and you go in your backyard and you put up schach. So it's a mitzvah kala.
You're going to go to jail.
Very good. So you put up a sukkah.
Go around the belt. On the belt, near Floyd Bennett.
So you go and you mitzvah kala yeshlim sukkah v'shma, and they're going to put up the sukkah. They're going to the sukkah. What's going to happen? Hashem is going to take out the sun, the chama min artika, and it's going to be boiling hot. And the goyim are not going to be able to tolerate this. Air conditioning, where's the climate control? If in my Mercedes, I have climate control. One temperature for the driver, a different temperature for the passenger in the front, a different temperature for the one in the back. Well, these fancy cars, every seat has its own climate control. Here in the sukkah, I have to schwitz. So what are they going to do? They're going to leave the potter. Halach is mitzta'er potter min ha-sukkah. That's the halacha. That's what they're taught. So they're very happy. They send the sukkah. They're amidst. They leave the sukkah. So what's the problem? The problem is they kick the sukkah on the way out. It's in the nuances. The nuances. They do the mitzvah, and now in fact Hashem is good to them. Hashem says, okay, good enough. So they take the hurry makeup exam, and the teacher has to go somewhere. The teacher has an appointment. So, all right, good enough. I see your stuff. I see you scribbling away. So, good enough. I'm gonna pass you. So Hashem says, all right, good enough. You're done. I'll take out the sun in order. You see, the different ways from shot in the Gemara. You have to go back and find the Makar where we find the same idea of taking the sun out of its sheath. And that goes back to the very first person, Avraham Avinu. This is a very deep Gemara. Avraham Avinu, what was the first mitzvah? When did he become a Jew? When he had bris milah. And right after he had bris milah, Avram Avinu went outside to look for some guests. He wanted to be machnis oirach. And Hashem said, listen, you know, you just became Jewish. Relax, take it easy. I want to exempt you from the mitzvah of hachnosas orchem. Because you just went, you had surgery. So I'm just going to make sure that orchem don't come. So Hashem took out the chalom in Artika, so there was no one on the road. Lockdown. Okay, on the news, there was an advisory, everyone should stay locked up. No one should go into the street. It's dangerous to be out in the street because of the intensity, the ultraviolet rays of the sun. And what happened? Avraham Avinu was mitzta'er, he had tzar. I want so much to do the mitzvah. How could it be, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, after I become Jew, you deny me from the ability to do the mitzvah? Now, what is the mitzvah of the goyim? What is the mitzvah of the goyim? The mitzvah of the goyim is Chag HaSukkos. Right, that's the mitzvah. The mitzvah of the goyim is Chag HaSukkos, it says over here. Because the Milchemes Goygum Mogog is going to occur at the time of Sukkos, and they're going to make a commemoration. It's going to occur at this time, and therefore that's what it says in the Pasuk Tezvav. There's going to be V'olum L'Yeshana V'Yeshana L'Shachla Shalom HaShem Avachar Chag HaSukkos. So this is going to be your mitzvah. So let's get started. Let me give you the mitzvah. So these goyim, they say we want to observe all of the mitzvahs. We want to be just like Klal Yisrael. Okay, let's start with your mitzvah.
An easy one.
The easy one, because this is anyway your mitzvah. Anyway, we know that this is going to be the mitzvah that they're going to be midah shana b'shana. You're going to be oil the regal once a year for Chag HaSukkos. Let's start. And Hashem sees they're trying very hard. They're starting. So Hashem, just like Hashem wanted to exempt Avraham Avinu to make it easy for him after he became Jewish by taking out the sun, the sun minartika from its sheath in order to exempt Avraham Avinu from Hachnosas Orchim by preventing the guests from coming. So Hashem wants to exempt the goyim from doing the mitzvah of Sukkah by taking the sun out of its sheath to make it into a category of mitzta'er and their potter. Hashem is doing with making it easy, just like Hashem made it easy for their ancestor Avraham Avinu. Another ancestor, but
not making it easier, making it harder.
Why harder? You're
because
that's the Pashup Shah. You're learning the Gemara much too simplistic.
Really?
Because Hashem, that there is no mitzvah. There is no mitzvah of Sukkah if you are in a state of tzar. If there are mosquitoes flying around, if it's raining, even if it stops raining and it's still dripping, you're potter.
That's not how they failed the test.
Oh, so how did they fail the test?
Because
they kicked the sukkah
on their way out.
On the way out. That's the point. When Avraham Avinu was exempt from the midst of Hachnosas Orchim, because there was literally no one able to come to greet him, to come in because it was so hot. So how did he react? Tsar. He had pain. Here, when Hashem tried to do with them a toiva, you're exempt. You're mamish halachically exempt. What did they do? Not only did they not have tsar that they're exempt to do the mitzvah, they had contempt. On the way out of the mitzvah, they kicked the sukkah. They gave it a kick. Ugh, this ugly sukkah. Shemazel the sukkah. They give it a kick. That speaks volumes. This is the story. My brother, he loves this. I don't know why he loves this story. My brother, he loves this story about there was a certain yeshiva which was on the edge. I told you this story many times. There's a certain yeshiva that was borderline. They claimed to be a really great yeshiva, Orthodox yeshiva. It's a little bit more than that. And they claimed to be like, you know, the new thing, like basically open Orthodox. This goes back years ago. An open one of the school, the pride and joy of open Orthodoxy, which is really basically a conservative yeshiva. Especially when the head of the leaders came out openly and said that we don't believe in Torah Min HaShemayim.
So that's not conservative.
That's reform. You say don't believe in Torah Min HaShemayim. What do you expect? I mean, how could the head of the institute go in and make such a statement? Not everyone that's there is so terrible, but like it's a shock. Fine. So they have a yeshiva and they have a website, and you go to the website and you look at the curriculum, you look at the people. It's very impressive. It really is very impressive. When you study, you see what's going on. You really can't tell. You really cannot find a smoking gun that is any apikorsis. The modern orthodox, what's wrong with modern orthodoxy? Each his own. Who's to say each his own? So, but you look at the curriculum, you look at the teachers, where they came from. There's nothing on the website itself that can be evidence in a criminal case that this is outright apikorsis. Garnish. They're very clever. Very, very clever to hide their true colors. So there was, so I showed this to my mother once. My mother, Hashem, she was looking at it, and she came across a picture of them in the Beis Medrash. And in the Beis Medrash, there was a pile of svarim on the table. And on top of the svarim was a can of Coca-Cola. Okay, like this. A can of Coca-Cola, like this, on top of the sefer. So my mother said to me, that's the smoking gun. And it's so brilliant. Mm-hmm. It's so brilliant. In the yeshiva, I mean, like, unfortunately today the yeshivas have taken a hit, so you'll probably be able to see this today in yeshivas also. But go back years ago, okay, when I was in high school, you would never find it. With all of the crime that took place in the yeshiva and all of the horrible things that go on, you would never ever walk into the Beis Medrash ever and see on top of a pile of svarim a can of Coca-Cola. It's just, there's a certain sensitivity that a child who's brought up in a Jewish home, even if he's a troublemaker, even if he's on drugs, even if he, you know, is mamish, who does what he does. No, the Yetzirah has a way of getting to everyone. We all know that. But in the Beis Medrash, it's not going to happen that someone will put a can of soda. If they do, within a minute or two, someone will take it off. Or you know, there's a John over here, he cleans. He's a very nice guy. I say to him all the time, he cleans. He doesn't know anything, so he always puts the svarim together, and on top of something, he puts the tissue box. He always piles all the svarim on the very top of every table. There's the svarim, and every table has a tissue box. The tissue box always goes on top. He doesn't know. So it's not.
He's sending a message to the people to put away their svarim.
No,
he's not. He's doing his job. He doesn't know. A yeshiva bacha knows. Even though yeshiva bacha, Mr. Merlis knows there can be a terror, right?
Okay.
There can be a terror, what goes on in the yeshivas today. Mamash a terror. But in the Beis Medrash, it's just not going to happen that a yeshiva bacha is going to put a can of soda on top of the sefer. And if he does, because there are people that will, there are vildachayas, very quickly, someone else will come along and just nonchalantly take it off. If they put on the website a picture, and in the picture you see the can of soda on the svarim, and the people who put together the website and the people who review it, they were not even sensitive. You don't put a picture of where people, the boys are talking and learning, and there right in front of them, front and center, is a can of soda resting on top of the sefer. You would never allow that. It would never happen. That's the smoking gun. But where does it say in the Torah you can't do this? Where in Shulchan Aruch? Where? Show me. Show me somewhere in Shulchan Aruch where it says you can't do this. Where? It says that you're not supposed to put, there's an order. You don't put a Gemara on top of a Chumash. A Chumash goes on top, Ksuvim Torah Sheval Peh goes on top of Torah Sheval Peh. It has all the rules of what safe you put on top of the other. But it doesn't say anywhere in Shulchan Aruch that you're not allowed to put a can of soda on top of a Gemara. It doesn't say. It says you're not supposed to put a Gemara on top of a Chumash. But it doesn't say you can't put a can of soda. That's the smoking gun. You're missing something fundamental. And it's not even in Shulchan Aruch. That's the problem with the Goyim. Hashem gave you a mitzvah. Hashem did you a toiva. He told you, listen, very good. Like Rav Mechelzer said, it's a hurried makeup test. And students, they go into the sukkah, they build a sukkah, they sit there for 5 minutes, all of a sudden, heat wave, amber alert, emergency, everyone should go indoors, extra violent rays are coming down from the sky, you're gonna get sick, everyone must go inside. Ah! Baruch Hashem, the mitzvah is over, and they walk out and they give the sukkah a kick. Where does it say in Shulchan Aruch you can't kick the sukkah? What does it say? Where does it say you can't kick it? Because what the heck, kick it. That's the thing. It's in the little things. In the little things, these little simonim is a revelation of where you're really holding. You know, in America, they can make all the laws they want. They have the Constitution, and they have the state laws and the city laws. You'll always find a way. People who are just rotten to the core will always find a way to reveal their agenda, no matter how many laws you pass. In the Torah can give you tayag mitzvahs. If you don't follow the flavor of what the Torah is all about, you'll be able to be a novel birashur satorah. There's only that much you can do. Making rules is not going to make a difference. This thing I always tell you about, stop the talking during davening. If it's just a symptom. If a person does not like davening is just a burden, and that's why he talks. I'm telling him not to stop the talking, so the ugliness, the contempt for davening will come out in another way. There'll be another way. So I won't talk during davening, so I'll sit the whole davening with my smartphone, and I'll talk, and I'll text, and I'll watch movies, and I'll look at things I should not be looking at in the Beis Medrash. It's bad enough to look at things you shouldn't be looking at when you're at home. In the Beis Medrash, you're looking at this in the Beis Medrash in front of the Aron HaKodesh. That's what I... Where does it say in Shulchan Aruch you can't do this? Where does it say? It doesn't say anywhere I can't do this. I'm not talking during davening. Okay, I'm not talking during davening, so where does it say I can't text during? That doesn't say. You're right, it doesn't, but obviously you're just missing the whole point. All of the rules, there are enough rules in Shulchan Aruch for davening. Make a new rule. It doesn't say anywhere in Shulchan Aruch. It says Shulchan Aruch about being mafsik, but this approach, as we said, the Tais Yomtiv, he never even says, he gave a bracha to those who don't talk. He didn't make more rules. It's a very disturbing thing. You have to learn how to treat the disease, not to treat the symptom. It's the whole, there's a German word, the Weltanschauung, is that how you pronounce it?
Yes.
The Weltanschauung, your worldview, the Weltanschauung of a person. Who are you? Where do you come from? What are you all about? Rules? Yeah, you got to follow the rules, but with all the rules you're going to make, you're not going to be, the rules are just guidelines to create for you a world view of who you are and your purpose. Okay, let's continue in the Rashi. So this is what it alludes to, Pasuk to Zayin, according to Rashi. We have here this Medrash, Eschak HaSukkos. It's a very interesting nusach. Rashi called it b'shmaita rishayna. Rashi's terminology. I never really heard this nusach. The shmaita. What's a shmaita mean? It's a teaching. The first teaching. He's calling the first sugya of a sect of the Zohar, who deals with this, with the sukkahs, and it's alluded to here in this post, they're going to come to bow down.
Halachic discussion.
Shmaita say halachic discussion. It's halacha. Shmaita, you want to say, means halacha, okay? Pasuk Yitzayin. Hageshem, Geshamim Mamish, Lahatzmiach Peros Arzam. It refers to rain Mamish, to cause to sprout the fruits. Umorro, Ligzor Aleihem, Atziras Geshamim. Why did Hashem decide to punish them specifically with parnasa? The other things that can bring suffering upon a person, lefisha mitzvah sechag al hagashamim heim, because the entire Yom Tov of Sukkot is all about rain. We shake the lulav, it's going to Rashi, we shake the lulav and Esther in all four different directions. Why? Because the four directions is the ruchas. Rain needs wind. Rain is such a complicated thing. Even in today's modern world, this is amazing. With all the technology, the meteorologists, they're just like economists. They have no, cannot predict the future. Those two, as they say, there's no difference between a meteorologist and an economist. They both don't know what they're talking about. Okay, they tell you it's going to rain. Yeah, where's the rain? Where's the, whatever they tell you. They can't even predict a few. Now what's happening? They don't even know. Lefisha mitzvah chag al hagashamim heim arbas minim shebelulav. The four minim of lulav, that's for the winds. V'nisu chamayim, we pour the water on the mizbeach. We draw water from the sheets. The water cycle, right? There's a water cycle. L'ratzoy salamayim Al shehechog zman gishmei shanuhu. It's the zman of the rain of the year. Ve'elu hamefak pekin bechag asukos. Those that are mefak pekin. Those that do not that are challenge. What's a good translation word? Mefakfek. Mefakfek. They challenge. I don't have really a better word. They doubt. They doubt, they challenge, yeah, the authenticity.
Entertain doubts.
Baruch Kivanti. They entertain doubts about the truth, the authenticity of this festival. Since the festival is primarily focused on every Yom Tov has many dimensions, obviously. There are many dimensions, but one of the main focuses of the Shalosh Regalim is agriculture. It's the Chag HaSukkos. The reason why he does not say the word Simcha by Chag HaSukkos is because you're worried. It does not say the word Simcha anywhere in the Torah regarding the festival of Sukkot. It says the word Simcha once. I'm sorry, it's the opposite. By Pesach. By Pesach does not say the word Simcha. By Shavuos it says it once, and by Sukkos it says it twice. Why? Because Sukkos is the Chag HaOsif. It's the time when you've already gathered in all of your produce. So you already have money in the bank. The money is in the bank, so you have simcha. Shavuos, you've taken in the fruit, you already see it. It already is blossomed, so you know what's coming. Pesach, you're worried. It has not yet happened. It's not the harvest, it's not the season, it's not yet upon us. So, okay, there are a lot of different examples of the terminology the Torah uses in reference to the agriculture. Obviously, it also refers to our the Zechel Yitzias Mitzrayim and Matan Torah and Anani Yakovod. There are many dimensions, and it's interesting. The Goyim, they're newcomers. They're not yet ready for the more exalted concepts of Matan Torah and Zechel Yitzias Mitzrayim and for Anani Yakovod. You have to start off on a very simple level. On a very simple level, the festivals, they relate to Parnasa. It's the Zmanim of planting, the time of blossoming, the time of harvest. The festivals, on a very simplistic level, are focusing on parnasa, agriculture, the different cycles. So dealing here with newcomers, dealing with goyim, these are our enemies. Now that they see the light, they're converting, they're coming over, they're coming to acknowledge the emes. And now they want to join, so you start off, give them a crash course. You give them Judaism 101. And Judaism 101 is the festivals. The festivals refer to agriculture. So you tell them a fact. They don't understand. Therefore, the punishment is v'le'alem yehagoshem kachlim l'madata b'tesefta d'sukkah. Now, by the way, just derech agav, there is a machloikis in the Gemara. The machlokes in the Gemara is where does rain come from? Obviously, this is something which you know you have to understand what Chazal is saying. So one opinion says that rain comes from outer space. Whenever it rains, the water that comes to this earth is not part of this world. It's Hashem opens up a channel in Shemayim, and it rains. It's new water coming to this world. It's a new creation. The other opinion says, what are you talking about? Didn't you go to Brooklyn College? There's a water cycle. Everything in this world is contained. Everything is recycled. There's nothing new, nothing old. Everything just, every single thing in this world, there are certain elements. We live in a bubble. The whole world is one big bubble, and energy and matter is just shifted and recycled. It's a very sophisticated concept. The world anyway is in a state of recycling. We think they make for us these very complicated laws of recycling and all these things. What's this all about anyway? All these things, the world anyway, according to Chazal, pretty much recycles, has a natural order of recycling. Remember the good old days where you can put into the garbage whatever you want? Mm-hmm. You're right, I still do also, right? But every once in a while, when the city's desperate for money, they come out with sticks and they look in your garbage and they give you a ticket. You never got a ticket for recycling? No, you know, I got tickets for recycling, $25 tickets. They come with sticks, and they say, oh, look what you got over here. They're at $25. What a chutzpah. And they go to the whole block. They have the whole block. Everyone in the whole block gets a ticket. Then they call the politicians, the councilmen. What's going on? Okay, we're going to stop. Yeah, after they've collected from the city a good, nice hoin raf. Okay, we'll stop. Because they have a project. They want to buy some new scooters for the policemen, so they need some money. So they go and they take, and then we'll calm down. It's mamish what goes on. It's just a game. They could fabricate money whenever they want. So the truth is, the world recycles itself. The world recycles, and the classic example is water. The Eidiale Minarets. When it's hot, the sun takes the moisture, takes the moisture from the earth, from the rivers, the seas, the oceans, and it brings it to the clouds. And the clouds, they form clouds, and the clouds move. And the place where Hashem wants, the water comes back down. There's no rain that comes from outer space. All of the moisture in this world is here. It's just constantly being recycled. It's being recycled. It's being cleansed, being purified. Maybe sometimes different minerals are being added because Hashem is running a very sophisticated operation of different parts of the world. When the aid is Yala, sometimes it takes with it different elements. And that comes into the water also. It's very sophisticated how HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs this world. And that is a mashal for every element in this world. Every element in this world, when you make a fire and something is burnt, those elements, it's not destroyed, it just goes into the atmosphere, and that somehow, some way, is recycled back into the world in another place in time. So Hashem already is involved in the ultimate, in the business of recycling matter. Global warming is a whole big issue. What about is global warming about? Is that really, whatever it is? Is that really a new thing? Is it natural? Is whatever? But we live in a super. So this really is a machlekes in the Gemara. The Gemara says one opinion says that no such thing. There's no recycling. There's no, Hashem does not have a department of recycling in his operation. Rain is fresh. It comes from outer space. A channel is opened in heaven and new water, the clouds, get a deposit of fresh water from outer space. And the other opinion says, I don't know what you're talking about. There's a pasuk in the Torah that says, Ve'ed yala min ha'aretz. There's no fresh deposit of water in clouds. The clouds are formed by the earth. Obviously, the scientists will side with the second opinion in the Gemara. But the first opinion in the Gemara says that there's something that is fresh, a fresh deposit of water. So it's interesting that these are the two different things that we do on Sukkos. On Sukkos, there are two primary forms. We have a principle in the Gemara, Elu vo'elu divrei Elohim chayim. When there are two opinions in the Gemara, they're both right. There's definitely an element in this world of recycling that we know, but you have to have a munas chachomim, that there's an element of mayim in this world that's fresh water. That's something that's new. In Sukkos, there are two different things that we do to be mevakesh from HaKadosh Baruch Hu geshem. One is the dalit minim. We shake the lulav and the esroik. We shake the lulav and the esroik in all four directions, to cause the winds to blow and to send, to form the clouds and to bring the water. And then what is the second thing that we do? We take mayim from the shisin and we pour it on the mizbeach. To be merames, that when Hashem created the world, vayav delokim bein hamayim hamayim asher mitachas lorakia uvein hamayim asher me'al lorakia. Hashem split, there was water in outer space, and there's water on this world, and we split the two. And the water on this world was crying, and it said, it's not fair. We also want to be able to, why does the water, the Mayim Elyonim, why do they merit to be in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And why do we, the Mayim Tachtonim, we are distanced from Hashem. So Hashem made up to them with the mitzvah of Nisach HaMayim, where the Mayim Tachtoinim are poured on the Mizbeach. That is an appeasement to allude to the Mayim, to make them like the Mayim Elyoinim. And this is done on Sukkos as a supplication that there should be Geshem, that there should be water, there should rain. That type of rain alludes to the rain that comes from Shamayim. The rain, new supply of Mayim, that Hashem pours into the clouds, and from the clouds it overflows and goes to the earth. Whereas when you take the Dalet Minim, and you're being mispelled that the wind should blow, that's self-contained. You're not dealing with something that's extraterrestrial. You're dealing over here with something that's on this world. The winds are on this world. And Hashem should just recycle, move things around. Move the water from one place to another place, recycling. So we have to appreciate that in the Gemara, there are two opinions as to where does rain come from. Is rain recycled, or is rain a gift? It's a new, it's a deposit of water from outer space. On Sukkos, we have two different mitzvahs to supplicate Hashem for the gift of Mayim, of Geshem. One is the taking of the Dalet Minim, and the other is Nisuch HaMayim. Nisuch HaMayim alludes to is the approach we believe Elu vo Elu Divrei Elokim Chayim. We get rain from Shamayim, a new deposit, that there is truth to that, and there's also what we see with our own eyes, the recycling. The Dalet Minim corresponds to the recycling of Mayim in this world. The Nisuch HaMayim corresponds to a new deposit of Mayim in the clouds from the Mayim Elyonim. Okay, so the Goyim, they don't want to accept this. They don't like this. They don't like Chag HaSukkos because Chag HaSukkos is all about these things, and therefore they're going to kick the Sukkah. And what's also very interesting about this Rashi is Sukkot is unique among all of the festivals. We have two mitzvahs. Don't overwhelm your students. Sukkot, there's two completely different mitzvahs. There are the Dalet Minim and there are the Sukkot. What does a Sukkah have to do with Dalet Minim? Nothing. Nothing. You want to talk about rain? Rain is the Dalet Minim, Nisuch HaMayim. I'm not aware that it says anywhere that a Sukkah hut with schach from the psoiles of Gorin V'Yekev is an illusion, a bakasha, that it should rain. Are we aware of this? There's such a thing? There's an adrab, and the sukkah can't shelter you from the rain. So the mitzvah of sukkah seemingly has nothing to do with rain. Rain is the Dalet Minim. Is the Dalet Minim. Other festivals, you don't have this. Okay, Shavuos, you have no mitzvah. It's only in the Beis HaMikdash. And Pesach, the mitzvah, the primary mitzvah is matzah. Yeah. Today we'll have matzah. You want to see the carbon. A carbon is a different category. A carbon is a carbon. That's a sacrifice. But as far as this matzah and maror, okay, there's more than one mitzvah. All right, whatever it is. But there's something over here very, very disturbing in this Rashi. And Rashi over here is saying is that if not for this Rashi, you wouldn't... I mean, it's not, as I take it back, it's not the Rashi, it's the Pasuk. The Pasuk here is, they are coming to reject, he quotes the Gemara, Masechta Avodah Zarah, Daf Gimel, the Shmaitzer Rishayna, where the people are rejecting the Sukkah. They walk out of the Sukkah, they give it a kick. And because they reject the Sukkah, they're being punished, they're not going to get rain. Rain is the other mitzvah. Rain is the Dalet Minim. Rain is the Nisuch HaMayim. So what does Sukkah represent? Anani HaKavod. Anani HaKavod, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he sheltered us. Shelter. If you want to punish them, there should be a housing crisis. A housing crisis. No more Section 8. Finished. The government shuts down Section 8. Okay, no more housing. No more subsidies. No more rent control programs. That should be the crisis. Not the water. My high. If the people, we know that everything is mida kenegin mida. If the people, their chait is, why did you kick the sukkah on the way out? What was that all about? It goes to show that you reject Hashem. You reject the mitzvah. You reject the mitzvah, the anani hakovoid. So you know what? You're not going to be living in this beautiful apartment, this beautiful house, somewhere with private security and in a gated community. Forget it. That's it. It's over for you. You're going to get an eviction notice. You're not going to live in your Anani HaKavot. No. You're not going to get water. Water, that's the other part of Sukkos. That's the Dalet Minim. That's the Nisuch HaMayim. What's going on over here? This is a revelation that... I don't know what it means, but it's a revelation. The only thing that it leads support to is what I'm going to say in one moment, but obviously These two mitzvahs, we're missing something. These two mitzvahs obviously are very much, I don't know why, I never understood this. These two mitzvahs are obviously very much connected. If Rashi, the Pasuk is saying that the punishment for kicking the sukkah is you're not going to get the blessing of the Dalid Minim and the Nisach HaMayim, it goes to show that they're not really two different mitzvahs. There's something that connects the two together which needs to be understood. The only custom that we appreciate this is there is a very beautiful custom which not everyone does. In fact, probably 90% of people do not do, is there is a custom to bedafka make the bracha on the Dalid Minim in the sukkah. In the sukkah. There is such a custom. Okay? No, I don't know. There is such a custom. I know that where I daven many years, all the years, daven Chaim Berlin, so they have a break. The Ma'amid is like it's a very long break, even 20 minutes. Okay, now unfortunately it's a shorter break because the Rosh Yeshiva is not well, so he doesn't go. So everything needs to wait for the Rosh Yeshiva. The Rosh Yeshiva will take his time. He'll go to the sukkah very carefully, and so they just everything focused on the Rosh Yeshiva. So he did it very carefully, very slowly, and everyone used to watch, and it would take a good 20 minutes. Unfortunately now he's not well, so he doesn't go. So they just do it, and the whole thing takes 5 minutes. They wait five minutes. Everyone goes into the sukkah, take Dalad Minim before Hallel, after Chazaras Hashatz, into the sukkah, and you make the bracha on the Dalad Minim in the sukkah. By the way, that is a very great advantage. The advantage is when you make the bracha is not just on the shaking of the lulav; it's also of the shaking of the lulav during Hallel. When you shake the lulav during Hallel, you didn't just shake; you shook the bracha with a bracha, because you make the bracha asher. But you're making the bracha that's, all right, whatever. I have to think that through again. We had a whole idea. I forgot what I said. But in any event, you do see such a custom, which is from time immemorial, to bedafka mix up the two mitzvahs together, to make to shake the lulav and the esrog in the sukkah. It would not be a minog if there's not something true about it. It's not like, oh, okay, you just go and make a joke out of it. On Simchas Torah, you know, everything is a big joke. You sing the nusach of Yom Narayim and then of Chanukah and Purim. No, this is a real deal. There's something very. And the only thing you can say al derech pshat is that you say it every in the harachamons and after benching, harachamon hu yifarneseinu bechovot. What does that mean? Covered. If you have covered, you're sustained, right? You live off covered. What? That's the real pshat. I just told you the joke, okay? Okay, the joke is, I don't need money. All I need is covered. If you walk everywhere, you go to a chasna, you get, see the kedusha. I don't need food. The kavod sustains me, right? The kavod sustains you. It's a sickness. It's mamish, a sickness. But what does it really mean for real? It means a dignified parnasa. Okay, there are people who have jobs that are not in the world considered to be dignified. It's not considered to be valued as a very chashuva parnasa. And then there are people that make parnasa, and it's considered in the eyes of the world to be a very honorable profession. Okay? Yifarneseinu parnasa, with dignity.
Can you see how mixed up the world is? Because they would consider a politician to be earning his parnasa with dignity, but we all know.
They're phonies. It's the ugliest thing in the world. Fire. Look, they say that about being a rabbi.
You don't know what this means.
You know how many times I heard someone say to me, you want to be a rabbi? It's not a good profession for a nice Jewish boy. Every parnasa you make out of it, you can make out of it. You make the most out of it. You can take the lowliest profession, and you can make it dignified.
Exactly.
And you can take the most beautiful profession, the President of the United States, and you can degrade it to the schmutz. Okay, that's life. You make out of something. Whoever holds the position, he's the one that makes the office, makes the job dignified. This is about Dharma Pashat.
The way I would have looked at mitzvah kali actually, sukkah shema.
Yeah.
I simply always understood it to be all those mitzvah, the sukkah, the lulav, the esrog.
No, it doesn't say that.
I understand you're separating it, but that's.
It doesn't say anywhere in Chazal that the goyim are taking inside the sukkah a lulav and an esrog. It doesn't say that. So you're saying maybe that's really what it means. It means go into the sukkah, you lulav and esrog, and stay there the whole day. Maybe that's what it means. Maybe you're right. But one thing is very interesting. This Jewish custom that we have today, and many do, not everyone, to make the bracha on the lulav and the esrog in the sukkah, what does it really represent? Harachamon hu yifarneseinu bechavot. The sukkah is the anane hakovoid. It's the place of dignity. The lulav and the esrog is parnasa. You don't just want to go outside the sukkah in the street and shake the lulav and esrog. Oh, you want to work for the sanitation department? So you want to work for this? You want to go work on the street, watch them come down with the sweepers of the street, and that's what you want to go do? So you're going to shake a little of industry, you want to work in the street, fix the roads? Okay, if that's what you like, good, gesunte hate. Or do you want to have a parnasa that in the eyes of the world is considered to be noble? Or at least you will bring it nobility, whatever that may be. You want to be a Rebbe, you want to be a politician, whatever it is. In the eyes of the world, you understand what I'm saying? Harachamon hu yifarneseinu bechavoid. When you say that picture, taking the lulav and the esrog and shaking it inside of the sukkah. The sukkah represents the anane hakovoid. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sheltered us in Egypt with dignity. The lulav and the esrog is parnasa. There are many different types of parnasa. You strive for a dignified parnasa. They go together. Here, the Umay Sa'olam, they kick the sukkah. They kick the sukkah. What are they saying? Ribbono Shel Olam, we don't need a dignified parnasa. We just want money. Just give direct deposits, stimulus checks. Just send us the money. We don't need the money. With your dignity. You know, what does the world live on? What's the parnasa of the world? The whole world is operating on what are the main sources of income in this world today? Entertainment. The entertainment industry is an enormous indicator in society of the economy. The Defense Department, weapons of mass destruction. Weapons of mass, people who work for the Defense Department, they build nuclear bombs, they spend the whole day making warships and submarines and special stealth fighter jets. What's the purpose of all this? To kill people. Defense, because the world is a world of war, of kind. Fine, the deterrence. Why do you even need a deterrence? Because ki yetze lev ha'adam ra min uraf. Because Cain killed Hevel. Murder. Because since man is an evil creature, he yetze lev ha'adam ra min uraf. That's you deal with all how much money is all entertainment, all to satisfy the yetze hara.
I think that's the musa here of the harachamon. Maybe it's a mistake. It should be in the eyes of the world that it's a coveted. No, it should be in the eyes of God.
Okay, right. You're right. That's what I meant to say. You're right. A dignified. It should be a dignified way to make money.
We have to think of it that way.
Right.
How we earn our living. You know, I always say the sanitation man could do. He could be a good.
Right. 100. I didn't mean it like that. Let's say people who sell, I don't want to say the word, pornography. People who make their parnasa from pornography. There's a very, very wealthy person who gives an enormous amount of tzedakah.
He's doing an avera.
And where does the money come from? All the money comes from pornography. So how do you deal with that? Okay, there's a famous, you probably know the name of the person. Someone in Eretz Yisrael is a very well-known person, and he gives an enormous amount of tzedakah. So is that what you would call, Mark, harachamon who you find is saying b'chavod? I don't think so, right? Not exactly. So now, think of it as a law. Obviously, if he works out there, there's a gvaldi, you know, they work for the city. It's unbelievable. You know, you get a pension, you get all the benefits, and it's very dignified. What's the problem? No problem. I didn't mean that. I made a mistake. You understand what I mean. There's a parnas that's done b'chavod. In this world, how does the world live, operate today? What is the driving force of the economy today? The defense department. That's the biggest expense in many countries. They spend money developing weapons of mass destruction, the military. Is this called covered in the eyes of Hashem? That we even need to have these things? We need to invest in these technologies in order to kill, who could kill the other one better?
We always have armies.
Okay, well, this
ancient times,
but I don't know. Okay, you have to nuance it the right way. You're right. You have to nuance it. The entertainment industry is a trillion-dollar industry. Okay, all the different things that are done in this world to satisfy kina hatayv hakavod. You understand what I'm trying to say? There's a different madrigas. The goyim. I'm trying to tell you a drush over here in this pasuk. The goyim will also love. Hashem is going to give them a mitzvah. The mitzvah is sukkah. What does Hashem give? What do you mean sukkah? What about lulav and esrog? Lulav and esrog? No, we don't need it. We burn Hashem, we have parnasa. Hashem is saying to them, you're making parnasa, but your parnasa is not a parnasa of kavod. You, goyim, don't know what it means, horachamon, hu yifarneseinu b'chavod. Let me teach you. Let me give you a blessing that you should make parnasa b'chavod. Here's the mitzvah of sukkah, mitzvah kala yeshli, anani akavod, go into the sukkah. They go into the sukkah, very good, you know what? I see you ready to do the mitzvah, you know what? Excellent, you can leave now, potter, you potter. You're going to get parnasa b'chavod. On the way out, they kick the sukkah. What do they say? Ribbono Nisham, we don't need your covet. We don't need it. We like it the way we have it. We like making parnasa through the way we've been doing it until now. Through gezel, through corruption, through this, through that. I said, really? You don't want parnasa b'chavod? So you know what? You're not going to have parnasa, period. Until now, we're living in a world where you can have parnasa without covet. La'asalavai, Hashem is making a statement, it's a new world order. There's no more gezel, there's no more avodah zarah gilirai shvichasam. Avram Avinu terach, how do you make parnasa terach? How do you make parnasa terach? He had an avodah zarah factory. You sell idols. That's how he made parnasa. Is that called parnasa b'chavod? That's not parnasa b'chavod. That's all avodah zarah. La'asalavai, Hashem says, we're now in a new era where it's either parnasa b'chavod or there's no parnasa. It's all or nothing. You don't want to go into my sukkah. You do not want the element of kavod. You know what? Then there's no parnasa. I'm not going to allow you to go back and live with an economy of bezoyim. The economy is not going to, we're not going to tolerate this anymore. You have to have a dignified parnasa. When we say it means cut out the nonsense. The parnasa has to come through means that are of kedusha. And when they kick the sukkah, when they kick the element of kavod, you can't just go back and have parnasa. The two must go together. Horachamon hu yifarneseinu b'chavod. All right, that's the idea for today. Over here, we're going to take a short break. We're going to go over here about Shiva Osa B'Tamuz. This Sunday is a fast day. And I want to begin to talk about the Bein HaMitzvah. One moment.